Can we please turn to the book of Matthew? Just as an introduction, we're going to read from Matthew and chapter 7, and really from verse 7. But just to read from Matthew, going back to the chapter that we read from earlier on the screen, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." So I would like to just come back down to Matthew in chapter 7, and we'll start from verse number 7. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking, and he said this, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, he will give him a serpent? And if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. May the Lord bless the public reading of his word. Before we just consider these words, can we sing again? My thoughts this evening from what the teachings of the Lord Jesus and what's going on that I don't think we can ever get away from is that of choices. The choices. Now, coming on Friday, there's going to be people have got quite a big choice, really. A choice of who to rule the country in the elections, and the people would be choosing which one that they would prefer and which line that they would like to go on. I'm not going to be political this evening at all. I'm not going to say anything like that. But it's just that every time we come home from work, there's another great treasure of paper on the doorstep. From this party, that party, the other party, saying this, saying that, and saying the other thing. And it got me thinking that we have got lots of choices in our lives today, haven't we? First of all, people, we might have a choice right at the beginning, which school to go to. Might have a choice of what subjects to do at the school, what to do after. I think it's GCSEs now, it was O-levels in my day, and GCSEs. Then, what job to do, you know, where we might live after that. You know, some of us are on this step, some of us are past it. Where are we going to live, and what are we going to do in life? And then finally, when we're going to get off that wheel and retire. You know, all these choices in life, and there are choices within those as we go throughout life, aren't there? Many, many choices that we make, and perhaps if we are older and we look back and we can see some of the choices perhaps we made weren't particularly good, and some of them were good. But the Lord Jesus, as he was teaching those disciples and others that were there, he presented to them in the verses that we read, in verses 13 and 14, he gave them a choice. Now, I don't know if anyone has ever seen this poster. There's a poster like this in a gospel hall in Colford. If you've ever been to Colford, if you have a look at the back, it's of German origin, and it's by Charlotte Reinlin. And it's about 1867. There's been lots and lots of different copies of it, and it's been updated throughout the years. And it depicts exactly what the reading we had was. It depicts two ways. A gate there and a gate there. This is like a broad road that the Lord Jesus spoke about. And this here is a gate. It's a narrow gate. And it's a straight gate. And it's a narrow way, a hard way that goes all the way up to life. And this is what the Lord Jesus said, didn't he? He said this: enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide, and he's talking about there, wide is the gate that... wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein at. But straight or narrow is the gate, as we'll see, and narrow or hard is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So all I want us to do is just to have a look at those verses that the Lord Jesus said. Look at them perhaps in detail and just see which way we're on. And if we obey the Lord Jesus Christ and we have been those that have entered in at the straight gate, just have a look at the pathway that we read, that the Bible, the New Testament says about our walk and how we wander up that pathway. You know, we have sung, haven't we, "All the way my Saviour leads me." Is that true of you this evening? What have I to ask beside? Are we being led by the Saviour? "Cheers each winding path I tread." And that is my thoughts this evening. So what I want us to think about is, first of all, the narrow and the wide gate that the Lord Jesus spoke of. He says this: wide is the gate and broad is the way. What does that mean? Now, when you look at the word wide, that's the wide gate and the narrow path. The wide has the idea, if you go back to the word in the Greek, has the idea of an undimensionable measure. You can't measure how wide it is. And the broadness of it is spacious in length and width. In other words, it can't be blocked up. Now, when we came down today, the roads were very, very good. But if I went down the motorway on a Friday afternoon, down the M5, there would be a big traffic jam. Well, there was a big traffic jam, and quite often when we used to go from Bristol down to Taunton, there were many traffic jams, especially on a Friday afternoon. So, you know, the motorway, we could say, is not wide enough or it's not broad enough to fit all the cars are, especially round Porter's Head. But this road is wide enough and it's narrower off. To go along it has the idea of it being easy. It's an easy road to go on. And the Lord Jesus was saying this, saying that there's many that go on it, that each and every one of us naturally are on this pathway. Humanity is on this pathway. We think there are many ways, but people think there are many, many ways. Things like different religions, materialism, good works, etc. They think there are many different ways, and all these ways will, in the end, whichever way pathway we're on, will get us to God. You know, Proverbs says this, Proverbs 14, verse 12: "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And it doesn't matter how many ways people think there are today, they're all on, in effect, the same way. This broad way that leads to destruction. Why is that? But the Bible would say this: it's because we have all sinned, we have all fallen short of the glory of God, that we are on this pathway. That pathway leads to destruction. You know, John 3 verse 16 says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." And that's why he gave, the Lord Jesus gave, that God gave his only begotten Son, that we should not perish. So that would seem to me that each and every one of us are in that, on that road, and we're on our way to destruction. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, Paul, as he wrote to the Ephesians, he said this, that they were naturally, they were dead in their trespasses and sins. That doesn't mean physically, but that is naturally. Because the book of Romans says this, the wages, that which we've earned because of that which we have gone away from God and sinned, is death. And we might say, well, that's a bit cruel because I'm not really that bad a person. But God is holy. In God there is no sin. It was pure, unblinded life. John says that God is light. In him is no darkness. And when the Lord Jesus came into this world, it said of him that light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, that's each and every one of us. The wages of sin is death. And this road, as it goes along in this brow and people are going along it, it's an easy one road to go along. The Bible says this, it ends in destruction. And when we come over into the book of the Revelation, a difficult book perhaps to read, but just the final in Revelation and chapter 20, we read this, and whosoever was found, not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire, destruction. And men and women today are going on that way to destruction. It's easy to go on, just need to carry on through. You know, there are people outside, aren't there? There are people in the village here, the people in our neighbourhoods. There are people, our friends. Perhaps even our family members that are going to a lost eternity separated from God. How should that feel? We need to be those that would witness and to tell others concerning this peril that the men and women are in. Because there's many that are going along it, carrying on to a lost eternity separated from God. But the Lord Jesus didn't say that just to depress people, depress them. He says this, yes, there are many that go on it, but there is another way. Because straight is the gate and broad is the way. And that might be some old words there. The word straight, or that idea of straight, is a narrow. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate, sorry. Narrow is the gate. And when it says narrow is the way, it's how hard is the way. It's not an easy way. It's a way that we need to stop and admit that of what we are going and turn and go in an opposite direction, as it were. And that's the word repentance. Going one way, stopping and being sorry for the way that we're going and going in the other way. To stop and to go through this narrow gate. You know, why is it narrow? Why is it so narrow? Why isn't it such easy? Because it's God's way. It's a unique way. It's the only way. The Lord Jesus Christ could say this, doesn't he? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way and only way. There is only one door and only door. He's the only one who is able to save. You know, sometimes we're on in the town centre in Bath on the first Sunday of the month and we're in the open air. And people get a bit angsty about that and will come and challenge and say, well, how can you say that? I can say it because he is the only one good enough to pay the price of sin, as the hymn writer could say. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Why is he the only one? Because he's the only one that was able to take that price of sin. If I look to myself, if I look to my friends, if I look to my family, if I look to anyone else, there's no one else because we're all in that situation. We're all on that road that leads to destruction. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came, as we remember, perhaps at this time of year, as we come see him, the one who was of a virgin birth. And that's why it's so important. So important to believe that he was our Emmanuel, God with us. That he came into this world, that the angel said to Mary, that holy thing which is within thee. As Paul could say, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest or shown in the flesh. The Lord Jesus was truly God and truly man. And because he walked upon this earth and he didn't do anything wrong. He was sinless and he was perfect. So there upon the cross, Paul could say the one who knew no sin was made sin. And so those verses that we read, John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That Ephesians, it was said that they were dead in their trespasses and sins. They've been quickened. They've been made alive. The wages of sin is death, yes, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's where this road leads. It leads to heaven. Yes, those that were not found in the names were not found in the book of life ended up going to into the lake of fire, we read, but the Lord, those that take this narrow way, it leads to life. It leads to eternal life. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There's only a few. Are you on that road? If you've gone through that narrow gate, he said, the Lord Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Are you going, have you been through that gate? Has there been a time in your life when you said, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I know I'm on that way. Yes, I know the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. And have you gone through that gate? I sometimes wonder about this road, this broad road, that it seems to me it's more like concentric circles. And as it goes round, it goes by that gate again. And there's times in our lives when we have an opportunity and we say no, perhaps. And it can come around again and it might be a longer time. And there might be another opportunity, but there won't soon, one time, there will not be any more opportunities. There was a man who, Agrippa, who Paul was speaking to, and he said this, almost they persuaded me to be a Christian. We're not told that he ever did. A very sad thing. Don't let that be of you. Enter in at the straight gate. If we've entered in, if we're on that pathway that we spoke of, that we sang of, all the way my Saviour leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me through the living bread, though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. And then in the end, this hymn says, didn't it? All the way my Saviour leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised, in my Father's house above, where my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. And as I was thinking of this, I was just looked into some of the scriptures that we see. That talks about us walking with him. Walking this narrow way. If we've come through that straight gate, if we've obeyed what the Lord Jesus is and we put our faith and trust in him, and we know him as our Saviour, what's our walk like? How do we walk this narrow way? I'm thinking in Romans 6 and verse 4. Paul is speaking to the Romans and he says, look, if when we become Christians, when we, as it were, come up on, go through that straight gate, we, as it were, died. We're dead to sin. And he speaks about baptism. And that's a natural progression, isn't it? If we're saved, we should be baptized. And baptism is a picture of someone going into the waters of baptism, of dying with Christ. And then being raised again in the newness of life. And so Paul says this, we should walk in newness of life. If we've gone through that straight gate, is there evidence of walking in this newness of life? That we are, old things have gone away, we are a new creature. A new creature, Paul says it. And we should walk as those that are in the light. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul is saying that, he says this, look, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Because we've gone through that straight gate, we're on our way to heaven. There's no condemnation now. We're not on the broad road anymore. But we should not walk after the flesh. Not walk after those that are on this broad road. You know, it's so easy sometimes to fall back, isn't it? But we should go on to walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Minding those things. The Spirit of God indwells each and every Christian. And we should walk, not after the flesh, not after those things that the world, and I would say the world, what I mean by the world as the world's thoughts, the world's principles, but after those things which we read in the Word of God. Then in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, I read this, for we walk not by faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? You know, we thought of that this narrow road, narrow gate, this hard road leads to life. You know, sometimes that can be a difficult thought when things come into our lives. And we cannot see in front the day in front of us sometimes, can we? We cannot see the week. We cannot see how we're going to get through it. But you know, the Lord Jesus wants us, God wants us in his word, to walk by faith and not by sight. We may want to be in heaven, but now we're absent. We're absent, as it were, from the Lord, he says. But we should have a view of him by faith. And we, setting our affections, as Paul says in Colossians, on things above. Can we see that, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. He's going to come into this world. He's going to take us. He's going to change these vile bodies like into his glorious body. He's going to come and take us up to be forever with the Lord. Is this, as we're walking up this narrow path, our walk? In Ephesians 4 verse 1, you read this, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. What does that mean? Walk worthy of the vocation. He goes on and says this, with lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, and keeping unity. That's what he's trying to say is, look, love one another. You know, the Lord Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And that's really what that is speaking of. That we should love one another. Love those that are on that narrow path. You know, there's few on there. How easy it is to quarrel with them. How easy it is to be nasty to each other, isn't it? On certain things. Now, the Lord Jesus is saying that walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. We're called. And we're walking along this path. Let us, in unity, go with others that are on the path as well. I love this one. In Ephesians, if you look at, I haven't put them all up here. If you look in Ephesians seems to be a book of walking. And it talks about us walking and our lives as we go along, as it were, upon this path. And again, in Ephesians 5 verse 1, I love this one, it says, walk in love. Now that's easy, just as a phrase, walk in love, and we think, well, yes, we love one another. But he qualifies this, he says, walk in love as Christ loved us and hath given himself for us an offering to God, for God as a sweet-smelling savour. You know, walk in love, yes, but as Christ loved us. We think of all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done, that he gave himself as a sweet-smelling savour. All that the Lord Jesus Christ said and all that he did in his sacrifice was a sweet-smelling savour to God. God looked down upon this world. And as the Lord Jesus could say, well, I am in the world, I am the light of the world. God could see in his beloved Son, that one that he could say, behold mine elect in whom my soul delights. And so we should love one another like that, shouldn't we? We should love one another and our lives should be, as it were, that sweet-smelling savour. Romans 12 and verse 1. And I will turn to it so I quote it properly. Would talk to us. He says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So just as the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to offer himself to God as a sweet-smelling savour, as he loved us, so we should love one another and we should walk in love, to love others just as Christ. So we're offering our bodies as a sweet-smelling sacrifice, as well as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable God to God, which is our reasonable service. Then again in Ephesians, further on in that chapter, we're exhorted to, as we're going up this pathway, to walk as children of light. And the writer there would talk about how they were once walking in darkness. They were in darkness. Now as the children of the light walk as children of the light. Darkness and light. And as we pulled in to the car park, we saw it. We don't get to see it that much when you live in a city like Bath. But it is quite remarkable when you pull in and you switch off the engine and suddenly everything is completely black. There's no street lights or anything. You might come to get used to it down here, but it is quite striking. And, you know, is our lives that striking? You know, when we see those that we walk around with upon this broad road that's going to destruction, when they see our lives, do they see something that is completely different? That when we walk in the light, they see something different in us. And they see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the light of the world. As we are in darkness now as children of the light, we need to walk as children of the light. Walking with the fruit of the Spirit. And he introduces the fruit of the Spirit there. Walking as the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon this world. Then we're exhorted to walk in him. Walk in the Lord. What does that mean, to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ? He says this, as we have received the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to walk in him. And that means being rooted, built up, and established in the faith. That we're not swept around, as it were, with worldly the thoughts that are in the world. You don't have to go very far than the radio to see what people's thoughts are in the world and the people that are around. We need to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, in the Bible, and what the Bible has got to say for us in our lives, and what the Bible has got to say concerning sin and various thing is subjects. When a subject comes out, let us turn to the Word of God and see what that has got to say to us, that we're being rooted, built up, and established in our faith, are able then to walk in Christ, and that others may see that we walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Going on, we're asked to walk in wisdom. Now that doesn't mean walking as brainies. Wisdom is different than knowledge, isn't it? Someone has said, knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing that you don't put a tomato in a fruit salad. Okay? So there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is knowing, is a practical outworking of the things of the Lord in our lives. Knowing, those that know not Christ don't know anything about him. And that verse goes on to say that if we're in Christ, if we're walking in him, if we're walking in the light, as if we're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're walking in love and walking as children of the light and walking worthy of our vocation, etc., that others will see the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And that verse goes on to say, look, that we need to redeem the time. And we need to know how to speak with grace and season with salt, knowing how to answer every man. You know, when people come to us and ask us questions about the Lord Jesus Christ, ask us questions about our salvation, ask us questions about our walk, walking that narrow way, how can we answer them? And do we answer them? Do we try and to speak to others about the Lord Jesus? Redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom, knowing what we're going to say, and that's experience, that's walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing his word. And then in 1 John 1 and verse 7, to walk in the light. Similar to walk as children in the light, we're to walk in the light. And if we walk in the light, as John says, as he is in the light, the blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, we can have doubts, can't we? We can have doubts in our minds, perhaps sometimes, about our salvation. But let's remember this word. If we're walking in the light, we walk in the light, if we've gone through that narrow pathway, if we've entered in the straight gate, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, we do fail. But John goes on to say, if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us our sins. That's like as a parental. That's like as a father, isn't it? But as we've gone through that straight gate, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. And just as our last and the final one, as our hymn writer says, when my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight of realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Revelation 21 verse 24 would speak of a day to come when if we enter into this through this straight gate, we shall walk in the light. In a day to come, there's no, the Bible says there will be, in the new heavens and the new earth, there'll be no need of the sun or the moon. God lightens it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, we read. And if we choose this narrow path, if we're going on it, the Bible says this, we shall. There's no doubt in that, is there? We shall walk in the light. Lord Jesus' command is this to each and every one of us, to enter in to the straight gate. We thought of the verse, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Saviour? Are you walking upon this narrow path? If not, we urge you this evening, now is the day of salvation, now is the accepted time, to come and put your faith and trust in him, because, getting Christmas into it a little bit, I suppose, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've come and put your faith and trust in the Saviour, you have everlasting life. Walking that narrow way, may it be that as we would seek to walk that narrow, that hard path, that we may know the Lord Jesus Christ leading us all the way. My Saviour leads me. Shall we pray just before our final hymn? Our God and our Heavenly Father, we give thee our thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for that way that he made, that way that was made at Calvary, where there in those hours of darkness, that the one who knew no sin was made sin, that there he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We thank thee for that way that was made, that he could say, it is finished, that there is a way back to God. We pray, Lord, that each and every one here may have entered into that straight gate, that narrow gate, that hard way that leads to life. And then in doing that, we may be walking day by day with the Saviour and him leading us. We pray, Lord, that thou would help our walk and be with us as we would walk. And we thank thee for the future. We thank thee for the glorious future of knowing that one day we shall walk in the light of God, the light of the Lamb. And we thank thee, our God and our Heavenly Father, for this great future that we have because of what the Saviour has done for us. So I pray, we pray, Lord, that thou would just bless our time together. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.